One. Okay. So, anyways, goons, before we get started, happy St. Patty's Day to all y'all out there. Lance, Doug, and I would like to just, say salute, be safe, and have a happy, well, actually, no, when you hear this, it'll be after St. Patty's. Just kidding. Anyways, hope you had a good St. Patty's. Bye.
Skull. It may be
Salute.
after, but you'll still have the hangover.
Woo! Yes.
Oh, God.
Mm.
You know, I had to Google how many shots of Pisco it'll take before you get drunk and said 3 to 5.
Well, I will say that I'm glad that we got to do this here today. I was thinking because we were doing this on Saturday because I am going to be gone all next week for spring break, everybody. And I was like, oh my God, Doug might be off. Let's see if he's available. Because it wouldn't be right doing a movie like this without you on it.
Well,
And
technically the second one, right? Because
it
you were in
hurts
the second one,
too.
yeah. I was in the first one, yeah. But no, thank you. I figured like the grosser the movie, the more it's like, uh-oh, Doug's radar is coming over here. Oh, okay, yeah, I'll land on Necromantic too. I know nothing about Fear or the other two movies you guys did last time, but Necromantic 2, I'm there.
Well, no, we didn't do Fear because you were not available. So Fear
Oh.
was off the list. All right. So Mikey suggested we do it for Women's Month because obviously our protagonist is a woman. So I guess whenever you're ready, today's your time to shine.
Ah, okay. I'll be Trans Woman Month right now, so.
There it
All right, so I guess with that, is everybody ready?
I gotta remember the lines here. Holy shit, it's been a minute. All right, goodbye,
Dude,
goodbye.
I
No, that's
always
it.
read them. Dude, I always read them. No matter what.
Well, that's what happens when you get older. You have to have a little help. So,
Yeah. Well, you know.
all right, you ready to kick this doohickey off? Woo, let's go,
Sure.
Dougie. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, mutant goons from beyond. We're back with an all-new episode for Women's Month. That's right. If you got the strungent strength of the vagina, it's like a punching bag down there. Well, welcome back to an all-new episode. We've got, it's Lance and Aid, and I'm back again. They always get me back for these gross movies again. But I'm Doug, and I'm here to welcome you back to Slashers Podcast. That's right. Your new favorite podcast for all your new favorite horror media or older media for you dyslexic people. But anyway, we're back here. What could be more womany than Necromantic 2, The Return of the Loving Dead? Hey, but before I introduce the film here, let's introduce our hosts here. So we'll go in order here. So since it is Women's Month, we'll start with you, Lance.
Yes, I knew it. Hi, how you doing? Enjoying? Love you guys.
Aid.
Hey, my mutant goons. I hope y'all are having a great St. Patty's and Women's Month. Oh, and Easter, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah, leap year.
Yeah, it's Women's Month, so I don't know why like periods couldn't get like a thing that like, it's Women's Month. No one get their periods for this month here. It would be nice. Like Aid, if you for your YouTube watchers here, she's got like the best portrait in the background. It looks like a real life snapshot you get at the Museum of Death of some necrophiliac sex scene in real
Well,
life, but
I hate to say it, this photo is a spoiler, but I can't say I didn't see that coming.
I kind of
So
like your head's actually in the way, so technically you're keeping it a secret still.
I'm not keeping it. Say her bush is out right behind me. I don't know who you're
No,
talking
no. The actual end
about.
factor of what
Oh
you're
yeah,
saying
it's just her
in
cho-cho hanging out, everybody. I'm so sorry. With blood everywhere. And you know what? This actually, Doug, you're right. This is a commentary and a metaphor for the struggle that women goes through monthly. Because there is a lot of blood involved, and there is a lot of blood involved in this scene.
Yeah, so it's like the killer period from hell here. And I mean, if anything, she, this girl Monica M that's in Necromantic 2, she's kind of like the I think the poster child for Gen Z now, because every like the way she dresses and the way she looks and she does her hair, that's how Gen Z looks now. You know what I mean? It's like
Oh, the baggy pants. Yeah, you know what? That's very on point, dude.
Yeah, I
Very
looked at
on
her, I'm
point.
like, man, what she's wearing now is in style.
Yeah.
Oh,
Oh yeah, N Nugget came down for Necromantic 2, so he's I fed him some
Doug, you
worms
got
earlier. He's a little stuffed, but maybe I could stick him on the microphone here. Here, Nugget, come here.
your little nugget on your
Yeah.
shoulder. What the hell's on Doug? I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah, well, we're in California, so there's always a lot of lizards out here.
But Nugget's a bearded dragon, so I'll just stick him on the microphone here.
There you go. He's nice Aww. And warm. Yeah, I know. We have a lot of lizards here as well, so we're used to it. But they don't sit with you. If you try to catch them, their tails pop off. That's all.
Oh, they're fucking fast. Yeah.
Yeah. So what movie are we doing, Doug?
We are doing Necromantic 2. Now, this is a sequel to Necromantic that we did a couple of weeks ago. And Necromantic 2, for all of you people that are kind of new to this one, or if you guys didn't listen to the first Necromantic episode we did, this is a film that for the longest time was on one of those extreme movie lists. So every time, like, you know, you get those edgelords and stuff, they're like, oh, you know, I've seen like a Serbian film and, you know, I've seen violent shit and I've seen Zombie 90. But Necromantic 2 is always on that list. And the funny thing is, if you have the Blu-ray of this, it's a longer cut of the VHS tape. So I remember for the longest time, like when I was in high school, I used to hunt down like the obscure, like these obscure like types of, you know, violent and kind of, you know, obnoxious movies. And I remember seeing this on VHS and it was never as long as the Blu-ray was. But the funny thing, Jörg Butgereit, the director, you know, no relation to Hitler, but he lives in Berlin right now. When he made this film, you know, it was already kind of known about the first movie that it was like, oh yeah, you made a movie about necrophilia. The second film, you know, the budget was higher, and the director on the Blu-ray, he even said that this film, the Berlin police found out about it and they confiscated it and they tried to destroy the negative, but they didn't find the negative when they raided his home. So oh, wow. You know, this was an illegal film for the longest time until the Blu-ray came out. And, you know, luckily, Jörg had it hidden and they used that master to make this Blu-ray for Necromantic 2, which is a longer cut of the VHS. But yeah, you know, this film too, we mentioned it last time. I think this one is nastier and grosser than the first movie. You know, definitely on the Blu-ray, you can tell the corpse is liquid latex and it's foamy, you can tell. Yeah, but yeah. It's much grosser. Like they used a lot of ultra slime for this here, like Aid had mentioned before.
Hey, Doug, have you, were you like, I don't know how you were, but when I was growing up, obviously, you know, some of these movies that we like are hard to find. Were you like a con person, like a comic book con person or cons in general? Because that's where I usually found my DVDs a lot of the time.
Yeah. Yeah. In fact, I used to go to Cinema Wasteland in Cleveland, Ohio a lot. And there was a lot of bootleg tables and stuff. And they would always like find the obscure shit. Like, because back in the day, now for you Gen Zers, if we even have like Gen Z listeners here, you know, back in the day, you couldn't just stream stuff online. I mean, we had LimeWire maybe in the late 90s. Mm-hmm. But back when I was a kid growing up, I think I started getting to like the obscure extreme cinema when I was like 12 years old or something. And the only way to hunt down these movies, like it was really word of mouth. But if you went to conventions and you found like bootleg movies, you know what I mean? Like the burnt DVDs yeah. and stuff. That was the only way to find these movies here. And there was a website. I think it's down now. But, you know, I've made lifelong friends. One of my buddies, Alex, we used to mail DVDs to each other. There's a website called StumpyDiscs.com.
Nice. And, I love the name.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and they'd have like a list of obscure movies. It was like a mail order form and you pick what you want. And they send it to you. And yeah, and that was the only way to get a hold of like Necromantic and Necromantic 2, unless you paid like, you know, fucking $200 for a VHS tape.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and the funny thing is, Lance, you sent me a link for the VHS of Necromantic 1. I had that VHS for the longest time, the original. And I'm going to hold on this forever. And then some schmuck said, I'll give you $170 if you send it to me now. And I'm like, oh, I'm a whore for the money. So yes, I'll send it.
Oh, it was so cool though. When I saw the VHS of this, or the first, was it the first one I sent you? Or the second one?
The first one.
Yeah. And I remember seeing it. I'm like, oh man, that's so cool. I assumed it was just like a bootleg kind of repress of it. You know what I mean? Like one of those kind of deals. But I, at the same time, I was like, oh, it's still kind of a cool collector kind of thing, VHS wise. And it looked cool. So like when I said it to you, because I had a feeling you already had it. But then at the same time, when you wrote me back, I was like, oh, shit. OK, so, yeah, you might want it still.
Yeah, I did have it. I kind of regret it. Well, it was $170. I was kind of like that girl that, you know, those girls that bite their lip. They're like, how could I resist such an offer?
I mean, it's hard to hold on to something like that, right? Because we have them right here on Shudder. So if you have mm-hmm. Shudder, you just stream it. You have a VHS player, right, Doug, I assume?
I do, yeah.
Okay, yeah, because I don't, and like I was thinking about like there's so many like cool things out there, and I'm like, do I can you even hook up a VHS player to a
You have
smart
to have an
TV
adapter now.
now?
You can, yeah, you need an adapter because every time like a tape would kind of mess up, it would lose the HDMI signal. So that's like a big thing. Because I know, fun fact, if you guys listeners out there ever need your home videos transferred to DVD or video, like a video file, I do that too. So I have like all the equipment to transfer VHS and Hi8 over to
Oh,
digital. So,
I'm
oh
already
really?
gonna
Do you have like
go.
8mm?
I do have that too, yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, I'm definitely gonna go through my home videos from back in the day, Doug. So if you get a shipment, I'll be happy to pay you.
Oh yeah, no
Yeah,
worries.
seriously, same.
I love dubbing that, so I'm kind of pushing myself. But I mean, yeah, nothing is too extreme. I've dubbed over people's birth videos, so
Oh, well, you don't need to dub. Just put it on a DVD and send it back.
Well, I did one of Yahaira's uncles, I think, sent me a VHS of like their bachelor party. And I kid you not, like it's one of those things where they sent me the VHS tape to transfer over to DVD. They must have not remembered what was on the tape. And it was a bunch of guys masturbating over a piece of toast, and whoever jacked off last eats the toast.
Oh, Limp Bizkit. That's actually what Limp Bizkit is. That's the actual definition of Limp Bizkit.
Oh yeah, I just called it toast.
No, that's legitimately how the actual terminology of Limp Bizkit is. That's what Limp Bizkit is. Like, most
Oh,
people don't
really?
know that. Like, legitimately, that's the
That makes sense. Yeah, but when I returned the DVD, I'm like, here you go. I'm like, yeah, there's some stuff on there. I'm like, I mean, it was interesting. I give you guys credit, but man, that bachelor parties are crazy back in the 90s. So going back to Necromantic 2, so besides like the obscureness, because I feel like this movie, I know we're going off keister a little bit here, but this movie for the longest time before that Blu-ray came out, this was one of those ones that really like stuck on VHS, and like the collectors, like the obscure, like basement dwellers were really kind of, hunting this movie down for the longest time. It was only available in bootleg circuits. But now that it's on Blu-ray, the actors on this one here too, they all kind of came out and they found out that the girl, Monica M, she made the music for this one, and she does concerts making the live kind of orchestral
Oh,
music for
she
this
does
here.
sing later on, right? Like I really wish I knew what the words were when she's having the dream sequence, and the piano guy does that weird moment where he does a.
Yeah, he was like the sexy sax guy from Lost Boys. That's what
Oh,
it
I've met that guy actually
I
at
bet
a
you have. Oh my
thing.
gosh.
Does he
My
still have
friend
the
works for
greased
EA
up chiseled
Sports.
abs?
Oh my God, he did. No, I literally, if I could find the picture, I'll send it to you later
He's
off.
still very fit. He does what are those things? He does cameos now.
In
Really?
movies, or are you talking about just in
No,
general?
like the no, he does like, Cameo, like the app where you can like pay someone to say
Oh,
happy birthday
right.
to you. Yeah, that's what he does.
Yeah, so Necromantic too, like going back onto this one here, and why I feel like it's great for like Women's Month is because the main character in this one is the girlfriend from the first one. And she was kind of known, like she was the necrophiliac in the first one. So that's really what the whole movie was about. But she kind of leaves her, she's like, I'm divorced, I'm breaking up with you, and I'm gonna take our little friend too. And yeah, so now
Wait.
she's back in this one.
She's the same
Was the same
character?
girl?
Oh,
She's the same character, yeah. She unburies the boyfriend from the first movie.
Wait,
Wait,
so
but
who's the second girl that was there later on when she sees
no, because the wife, that's not the wife. This is a completely different woman.
Is it? I
Because
because I in the beginning they
the wife
flash
does
back.
come back and they never show her again. This is the part I don't like about the movie. Because I was waiting, I thought that the wife and this girl would get into something. They'd be fighting over the body. She comes back later and she's trying to get.
Yeah, because there's that scene where it, like, literally comes there, and she's like, "Oh, damn it! I got to his body first." Like,
Oh,
it was like,
she
was that the
missed the
one though?
body. That was the wife from the first one. Yeah.
Okay, see, they all look the same to me,
They
so
do.
yeah, I'm
They're
saved.
all very germ. They literally all the women in this film look exactly the same.
Yeah, because there's three
There you.
different women like that, like the one at the well. Basically, we'll go into it, but Jason's in this movie, so Jason makes a cameo. Yeah, I was waiting for him to say, "I need my chips." But yeah, the actor guy in this movie looks like Jason from The
Oh my God, he kind
Podcaster.
of does. He really
Yeah.
does.
Oh,
So.
bless his heart. Oh, poor Jason. And you know what? Maybe Jason, and he's dubbing over porno. So like, there you go. Maybe we get it.
I was shocked to see as much English that was in it that like at that time frame, because like whoever the producer was of the pornos was like more. Yeah. What are you doing?
Well, there was an English woman. I mean, obviously an American that was making them dip over the
porn. Well, because Americans make porn movies. That's what we do.
Yeah. Yeah. Because we're so classy here in America. And so, why do you need to be dubbed over? Can't you just tell, like, what's happening?
They're not making sounds.
Oh, Estim and Scheisse. Oh,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, nothing might like somebody going, oh.
Like, wouldn't you, like, even if you don't understand the language, you can still tell what's happening. Like, you don't need to understand the language.
I don't think I've ever turned off a porn where someone's like, I, no, in fact, most of the porn I see on Pornhub is, ay, papi, que rico, ay, and I've never turned it off because they're like, oh, I don't understand what they're saying.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing I don't like is the Asian porn. One, because, like,
they cry. You know,
way to be racist there, Aide. No, the Asian porn is where you stop.
It's too much bush. I don't like that.
Well, they censor it out anyways. And they can't even show it.
You can't even see it. So what's the point?
So you're more upset because you can't see it? Is that what you're telling all the folks out there?
If I gotta watch it, I better be able to see it. Like, what is the fucking point if you're gonna blur over it? There is no point to that.
Maybe it's because they're afraid to show their penises.
They showed more bush and dick in this movie than any Asian porn I've ever seen in my life. So there's that. Oh.
Yeah. Mm. No, the Asian porn, they're always like, I feel, should I be waxing my carrot or like being offended? Like, why are they crying?
Anyway, and I will say, okay, so as a woman, I needed to make sure I was on this episode because it's really easy to go off the rails. Everybody with this movie, but it is a very empowered woman's movie, and I think it is disgusting. I was throwing up in my mouth watching it at one point. I was gagging. I'm like, what am I doing? And the only reason, every time she kissed that, she'd lick it. I'm gonna throw up now thinking licking. What was it covered in KY jelly? I don't even know. It was so funny.
No, that was Ultra Slime. So you can buy that. That's the same stuff in Ghostbusters too. So fun fact.
Yeah.
It was so nasty, but let me finish my sentence, Lance, and then you can continue. It's Women's Month. And so I defend this movie because it is a very empowering movie. It is a woman taking charge of her sexuality. It is a woman knowing what she wants. She is successful. She's a nurse. She's trying to find a relationship, but she's taking what she can get.
She was a nurse? So, I thought the first wife was a nurse, not this woman.
This woman's a nurse.
Woman's a nurse too. They work at the same hospital. They're friends.
Maybe they all knew each other. There must have been a connection there between the two women because she knew about him and she knew enough to follow him in the papers. But she saved the newspaper clippings because I think that she was just obsessed with him before he died. And then when he did die, she was like, oh, this is my perfect opportunity.
So were the group of women all nurses then? Later on when they're watching the seal,
that's what I'm saying. Like, she found like a little support group of necrophiliacs. Like, I don't know. Like, I feel like they're all getting off, like they're all sitting around watching a porno together.
My thing here, like, those girls, like, did they exist or no? Because they kind of disappeared all of a sudden, so I'm like, maybe she thinks that she's in
a, well, he saw them, right? Because he sat down next to them.
I don't know. That's a good question, Doug, because one of them ever was walking around with the head.
Yeah, and she puts that. She's like, "Oh, I'm."
Well, I think they were okay with it though. That's the problem. That's the thing. Like, I think, like, this must be her like little covenant group of necrophiliacs. You know what I mean? Like they're all into it because like the second he showed up, they almost looked like they were turned off. But like, ugh, it's a live one.
Oh, it's a man.
Well, that's
he's alive. Ugh.
And that's like, I mean, because literally, so this one takes place right after the first one, and it's about our protagonist in part one is buried, Robert is dead, and a woman digs him up to have sex with him, which I find fitting and poetic for his demise because that's what he would have done to someone else, right? So good for Robert.
Well, he's more appealing now to them.
He's more appealing to these women. What is going on? And like, if you want to look at it at face value, like, is this what's happening in Germany? We're digging up bodies now because I feel like now it's a reoccurring thing.
Everyone's digging up bodies. Yeah,
they want men to be silent and quiet and just be a fuckstick.
Yeah, you know, sometimes you do want that. I didn't blame her for that. So just sit there and take it, right? Like it's a, but that's how men are usually in that sense, right? When you're having sex and like a lot of there are a lot of males who just, you know, they want to have it the way they want to have it, and you just be there. And so I'm not saying the two of you, I'm not putting you guys in that, but there are men who are like that. So what's so wrong with like reversing it? And then he's crying to his little ex-girlfriend in the movie, and he's like, she doesn't want me to move. Oh, poor baby. Welcome to our world. Like, just sit there and take it, right?
Yeah,
Like,
seriously, like
what's he complaining about? The fuck is that?
no, the men are kind of pathetic in this movie here, and that's the thing too, like it just goes to show you too, like even the director said that this movie is much more female themed here, and I think it is like a woman in power thing. I think the girl Monica M is way more powerful than like Madame Web and all these other superhero female based movies, because she knows what she wants, she's taking advantage of it, and yeah, it's is this one better than the first one? I'm not sure. I like the runtime of the first one because I like an hour and 10 minutes. That's a sweet spot for me, especially since I'm getting older and working like crazy and stuff. I'm like, I wanted a good hour and
Well,
10
there's
minutes.
less random scenes in this one. Like where the part where he's running in the random field in the first one. You know what I mean? I think the director had more of a weirdly a direction for this one.
Well, I almost feel like in this one, what's mimicked was when she's singing that song is mimicked in the scene with him in the field. But this one is much longer.
I see what you're saying.
And then the whole bar scene where he's fallen asleep, like it just looked like another Night at Tank's to me. Like I
I feel
didn't.
like that's the perfect scene for a man because you're always getting fucking really horrible fucking advice from your guy friend. Like
Oh, yeah.
that was literally that scene where that guy's like, "Oh, fucker, why is she like that? Fuck this, fuck that. Who cares about your happiness?" And he was drinking his sorrows. Like it was like a it's a clinical version of what it's like to be in with another friend of yours.
Well, I had a weird thought watching this movie too. I know we're jumping around a lot here, but Necromantic 2 really is one of those movies that just kind of jump. Like, there's no real logic. Like, the plot outline, that's basically what it is, with just a bunch of filler kind of artistic scenes. But Lance, let me ask you, since you're a bartender, I was thinking about this. I was stoned last night when I was watching it, but I was like, man, I got really deep into thought. I was like, is that what a bartender does when someone's so drunk they just kick them out in the street and expect them to drive home or just get home somehow? Is that what they do at bars, like when they're so like shit-faced at closing time? They're like, all right, go out, you find out on
Unfortunately, maybe
your
in other countries you could probably pull that off. Here in the States, legitimately, we would have to try to get the keys from them. We would legitimately have to try to call a cab for them, and try to get them home, or even to the as far as maybe even getting into their phone and seeing who's actually in their phone that they call the most, and see if they can't get a ride home. Because technically, A, if they go off anywhere, like let's say even they even got in their car and they murdered somebody by accident, I'm responsible for that.
Oh, really? I didn't know
Oh
that. Yeah, the bars are liable for that. Yeah.
And not even just not even the actual bar. Me, like
Oh, shit.
I would be condoning to helping him getting into his car when I knew he was messed up or any of these things. And like they also add like a $500 fine plus getting fired, not alone that you're an accessory to murder. It might be manslaughter in the sense that I would get tacked for, but I mean in general it's better off to take their keys, do what you can, and that's why a lot of times we have to be very aware of how they are when they first come up to the bar. Like if they're already fucked up, I can refuse them service because it's like, nope, you're too fucked
Wow.
up.
So that's how that security guard at Tanks was like, you better watch her when you hire, was like stumbling and mumbling all over the
Yeah.
place.
What it's interesting that you, I'm glad you asked that question, Lance, because I was actually thinking about this when I was watching that scene because Claire just came back from Germany with Trevor like a couple months ago. And she said when they go to the bars in Germany, they just keep refilling your beer. They give you a beer. And it's not like here where people like work on tips. Like they get paid no matter what. Like you don't have to tip people in Europe.
They're just getting
So
whatever.
they just keep bringing you beer. So they'll just keep refilling it until you tell them to stop. So the guy's just going to keep refilling your beer. And the guy, you know, motherfucker is sleeping at the bar, you know, can't say no or isn't saying no. So he's just going to.
But cops
keep
are a lot
answer.
Easier over there, where they're more what the ideal of what cops, what people want cops to be here, which is more like neighborhood type cops,
no,
where it's like,
and the thing is,
I know
here,
you since you were a kid, you know, that kind of shit.
Yeah. And I just want to say, too, that the reason I think DUI is such a huge deal here and all this bullshit, because your city makes a lot of money on
all
you.
Cash.
Pulling you over and getting you in trouble, it is not about the safety of anybody, because you're just as dangerous on your cell phone, texting on your phone, not looking at the road as you are as being drunk. So it is not about the safety. It is about money. You like literally pulling somebody over, especially in Orlando, they get thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars from you just by pulling you over.
Well, also transit's a lot better in other countries
yeah.
too. I mean, just like the buses, the trains, you know, people are more accommodating to help you in like Germany and Europe and like Switzerland and other places like that.
People are on bikes. They're on like, they take the, you know.
Yeah. I mean, the worst case scenario is you might fall into a ditch and be bruised the next day.
Yeah, it's funny we're gravitating on that scene so much, but yeah, when I was like last night, I was just like, I was fixated on that. I'm like, man, what the fuck do they do? Like, if that guy was to drive home, this is Germany. Like, what do they do? I don't know. I was just on that for like a good minute here, but that's like later on in the movie. But yeah, so going, you know, reeling it back to the beginning of this movie, it kind of starts off with like the flashback scene to the first movie. So like the first 6 minutes of the movie is like the first movie, you know, the guy's
death
like
scene for the guy, right?
Yeah, waxing his, well, he doesn't wax his carrot, he like stabs himself and he comes. You know, hey, if I could come ropes like that, I'd be the Spider-Man of Cocktown, I tell you what. But you know, that guy did some good stuff there. But yeah, so we get that in black and white. So if you didn't like it in color in the original, then you get it in black and white here. Yeah, so, and then you cut back to them digging up the grave here, and there's not a lot of dialogue in this film, and the thing with that, too, is that they shot it on 16-millimeter film, so, you know, that helps, because, you know, 16-millimeter film, then editing audio, it's a pain in the ass.
Do you think all the budget went into the actual body?
Yeah, I think the budget went into the actual body. And there's another thing, too. Like, I picked it up just from, like, an editing standpoint. But there's a scene in this film later on, because she digs up the guy from the grave, and he's, like, a rotting corpse. He looks way nastier than the corpse in the original movie, because the original movie was, like, a skeleton.
Yeah.
So this one, you see, he's, like, all gross and nasty. And I'd hate to say it, but, I you know, I listen to a lot of, like, true crime podcasts and true crime stuff on YouTube. And a lot of people in this film, well, the director, at least, he must have like watched footage of like decaying corpses and stuff, because this is like the most realistic looking corpse I've seen. Like if you watch like the Traces of Death or Faces of Death movies, anytime there's like a corpse that's like in water or bloated, they're always like black and bloated and really nasty looking.
Yeah.
And this is like the closest thing I've seen to that. And the crazy thing is, like, this guy has his dick intact, so it's not a metal rod pipe like in the first movie. It's a...
Oh, my God, that was the worst. That little raisin hairy dick. Oh, my God, was disgusting.
It was great when he looked in the refrigerator at that one point later on.
And he's holding it on the plate. I love how she wraps it on the plate. I go, girl, you know, if you're going to keep that in your refrigerator, like, put some tinfoil over the top. Like, what are you doing?
And I don't know.
Why is he pulling her leftovers out? Is this something we do in Germany? I don't know. Well, I'm not going through people's refrigerators.
He must have thought it was chocolate cake or something, because she wrapped it like a leftover birthday cake.
Or leftover like actual meatloaf or something like
that. Yeah, it's like, oh, well, you know, uncircumcised dick judge, you know, I'll put this on the
Maybe he thought it was sausage.
Oh, is that what he thought it was, sausage?
Probably, because he's doing breakfast, right? So, I mean,
what sausage has pubes?
That's what I'm saying. I had hair on it. And that was the most that's what drove me crazy, because the other corpse in the first one didn't have anything on it, and that one did. And I don't know what's worse, like looking at it like that, and why are they so hairy? Does nobody shave? Is this like a thing?
Nobody shaves, nobody's circumcised over
not, Germany. Not in that time frame. What are you talking about? Like, and also European.
That's disgusting. Just shave it off. I don't want to see. Oh, How do you
You're
go
so
down on a
American.
dick? How do you go down on a dick with all that hair on it? I just want to say that right now.
I don't, well, at least, you know, she probably thought I was like, hey, free dental floss.
Yeah,
So.
flossing. Am I flossing my teeth for free today? Like, what is happening? Sorry. Sorry to those of you who are free, you know, whatever. I'm not trying to disparage anybody today.
Yeah,
it's
I'm not discouraging either. This is woman's month. If you want to have a hairy bush down there, you know.
Yeah, maybe. I know.
You know, and I don't have a hair. Like, that's the thing, too. Like, men are so particular. Like, there's no hair on me whatsoever. So there's that.
No, and TMI, I don't have hair either because I always thought it was like, man, it's just, no. Unshaven
I love
for
the
me.
Fact that Aide's given up the fact that she is hairless twice in two different episodes now.
Yeah, I mean, do you want to eat a peach that has fuzz on? Well, peaches do have fuzz.
Yeah, I was say, what?
But you can take the peel off the peach.
Yeah, you can take the peel off a peach. There you go.
Wow.
Okay, that's not the point. I'm not even saying that because I want people to know these things. My issue is that, like, I have an aversion to body hair. It's disgusting to me. So I don't want anybody around me with it either. Like, you can have it, but if I'm having these relations with you, then I feel like you should bestow me the same courtesy that I bestow to you and get rid of it.
Mm.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we all know that AIDS partner is hairless now.
Yeah, there you go. By force, just drug them like a movie and then shave them.
Well, next time we take their head off and put another one on, you know. Like I said, it's a very empowering moment here.
Oh, yeah. See, so for Women's Month, shave your bush. You know, even if you dye your underarm hair green for St. Patrick's Day and stuff, it's still okay. Just shave your bush.
So what did you two think about the ideal that it seemed like? Obviously, it was like almost like she had a boyfriend, right? Which is with a dead corpse. With the guy from the previous movie, which ironically he was left for a different dead corpse, and then he was almost left again for a live corpse this time.
Oh my god! When she's
and she's like in the dilemma of thinking of like oh, should I be with my man here or should I be with this guy that I just met type deal? And it was like that weird dilemma, and which actually plays in the end technically.
yeah, it just shows you it's like, man. You know, you could get laid as a corpse too. Some corpses are getting more pussy than living people. But yeah,
and then you're living folks.
this whole thing too, like her thinking about excuse me. Oh man.
You're right there, bud.
Much corpses.
Pollen.
But yeah, so the pollen, yeah, the winds are crazy out here. The Santa Ana winds are crazy.
Santa Ana.
Same difference. But you know, and the crazy thing out here too is that with this movie, it just shows you that the what I liked was that he kept flashing back, like every time they would share like a kiss or when they're eating ice cream together at the park, it would flash back to the corpse. It's like, oh, you're kissing her. She just made out with this fucking corpse.
Oh yeah. Like like if you're a germaphobe, this movie will flip you out. That's really would be the horror moment for anyone who's a germaphobe. Like. The uncleanliness of the idea of it. Oh, also, when she in the beginning thing when she first has her first intercourse, I guess technically with the corpse, I swear I thought it was kind of funny, but not funny, but like more of like, did she go down on him and then did it excruciate any kind of semen or pus? Because she looks like she was actually choking,
and that's when she was doing her puke scene, right? Because she like goes down on him, then she starts puking. So
I was like, did something come out?
It's
you tell me. You want to suck
an excretion? It's an excretion, Lance.
Either or, I'm just saying.
You want to suck an uncircumcised corpse's dick? You tell me if you throw up.
It's not even hard.
Yeah,
but that's the thing. There's nothing worse than a limp dick. I swear, when you're trying to get it on.
Yeah, it's either whiskey or a corpse. There's only
two
ways.
You have no idea that the material that you're dealing with when it's like that is bad enough as it is. Mind you, he's dead. Yes, wow. Like, I'm sorry. Make it a little hard if you want to.
What do you mean? Do you think something came out? Because that's what I was thinking at the moment. I was like, oh man,
an excretion and a pus, some
or
kind
something.
Of odor. Yeah, I'm sure. Or you know what? The formaldehyde, and that was another thing too. Like.
Well, this guy,
whatever
just,
they put into it. Ooh, sorry.
Just from, I know it's kind of morbid, but back when I was in the military, like I used to do like Because the MLS I wanted to do was like embalming. That was like the one thing I wanted to get into, but there wasn't any opening. So I would do like little online classes and stuff. This guy, this corpse here was never embalmed. Your organs would have been taken out and your blood would have been drained. So someone didn't do their job in Germany.
Oh, yeah, yeah, no.
Blood.
Yeah.
He was so, too poor to have all the nice things happen to him.
Yeah. Well, he was also a criminal, right? So my thing is why did they even bury him in the first place? Like, what do you do with somebody like that? Like, who is that much of a criminal, has no family to claim the body or anything?
I honestly want to start a band called Number 127 just to relate to this movie, because that's what his lot was.
Oh, yeah, 127. Yeah, there you go. I guess you
throw the body out? Like, do you leave the body? Like, if nobody's there to claim it, what do you do with it?
I thought it would just be incinerated, but that's just me.
Yeah.
Right? So you just burn it, which is fine. Better.
Well, see, there's a good idea for a
frame too.
Yeah.
Right.
See, it's like, oh, we're gonna rip this guy's organs out. I know he didn't have the organ donor ID on his card, but we're gonna rip his organs out and put it in another patient. And then
did he even have that in 92? I guess they did, technically.
I think they did, yeah.
92,
correct? Yeah, 91. Yeah.
The 91, but who knows? Maybe it was released in it. How did it get released? So obviously this is gonna go to theaters. How did they release this, Doug?
Oh yeah.
So when they released this, it was on it played at like local little theaters and stuff like that, and that's when the police found out about it. So the German police raided Jörg Butgereit's home, and they were trying to destroy every element of this film. So they confiscated everything, but they couldn't find the negative, and he hid it.
Wait, was there only one copy of this? Is this guy like literally going for every theater and like showing it randomly?
Yeah, he would show the negative. And the thing is, he had the negative in like a storage or something. And so when the police raided his home, they tried to destroy the negative, but they didn't. And that negative wasn't really like discovered until this Blu-ray release came out, because that VHS and like the earlier DVD releases and stuff, it was a much shorter version and kind of cut down.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so for that better is... or for worse, but yeah,
singing part.
No, I don't know about the singing part. I think the bathtub scene was the one that was cut, from what I remember, because I remember seeing like a DVD-R version of the VHS rip.
Oh, so the hand getting cut off.
Yeah, the hand getting cut off
and the head off,
all that, because that was the nastiest thing. And I know, like, I don't try to be morbid. Well, I do try to be morbid, but a lot of these true crime podcasts that I listen to, like a lot of ones, they're always like. Once they kill their husband or like someone gets killed, they always try to chop them up in a bathtub. You know what I mean? And then they like clean the bathtub and stuff. So this is like the closest thing I've seen in a movie. I'm like, oh, you know, this guy must have been reading his true crime stuff, because, you know, the bodies are always chopped up in bathtubs, and it would have taken that long to chop off a head. And just from seeing it from a standpoint of like working in like special effects and stuff like that, I did see that the head was pretty latexy and ultra slimy, so there is, you can see some of the foam in there, but you know, they did a good job with the sound effects and everything, because she was tired. I think she even takes after like chopping up his body and stuff, she sits on the couch with her bloody apron, smoking a cigarette and taking a shot of whiskey or whatever.
So, I mean, it's realistic as fuck. I mean, as you do.
But the funny thing is, like, a lot of the true crime stuff, you know, that stuff happens with these people. They're like, oh, it took hours for me to chop them up in a bathtub.
Well, that's not a cutting board.
You
can't chop something like that, especially if you're sawing through bone. Like, and I only say that because when I had spatchcock that turkey 1 year for Thanksgiving, that was a fucking feet and a half, and that's a fucking turkey. So I couldn't imagine doing that to a person. Well, yeah, you know, when I pulled the spine out, I was like Predator, and it was like,
I finally got it.
I was so excited. I did all by
myself. I'm glad we did this episode. We're literally learning way more about Aid right now.
I can spatchcock a turkey. Thank you. A 15-pound one at that. But no, it's not a person. I couldn't imagine doing it. Who the hell has time for this? That's what I'm saying. She's a nurse. Like, who has time? First of all, you had him in your bathtub this long. Then I love the best part about it is she put them in bags. And I'm like, girl, you need more than one bag. She had one bag there. I'm glad she got more. And then she puts it back into the
She didn't even bury him back in. She just puts the bags on top of
her. She just threw the bags back
in. I was actually expecting to see the... Because I think you were right. Like, it's weird not seeing the other... I guess wife or girlfriend. I don't know if we've ever really
No, you see
specifically.
the wife, and this is what pisses me off because I think this is what could have made this an even better film,
Would have
is
made it more
that
cheese, man.
more chusme, exactly. And we all would have been like, oh, we're waiting for this
Well, we know the two
because
people who love the cheese in this room.
exactly. So in the beginning of the movie, after Monica M, which I find hilarious, the last girl did the same thing, and she didn't want to show her last initial. After she unburies the body and she takes it home, Robert's wife from the original, and the same actress, she comes and she comes to the grave and she's like, what the fuck? Because I think she came to dig him up and take him, and it's gone. So I thought that she would resurface later in the movie to be like, bitch, give me back my man, like kind of thing. She never comes back. Like, there were so many good opportunities. Like, we could have had a really good, like, she could have showed up right at that final scene. And then, like, oh, this could have been like a whole thing in the final scene after she was sawing the guy's head off. And she's like, well, where, you only gave me this. Where's the rest of him while I have his head? And they could have just shared him and lived happily ever after.
Yeah, then it could have been a lesbian love story after that. You know what I mean?
I don't think it's even sexuality at this point even matters when you're dealing with necrophilia. I think it's just the fact that the person is dead. So as long as
Yeah,
they're dead, yeah, like there's no.
yeah, because this girl got off to, and there's a good point in this movie too. Because the main guy that looks like Jason, the one that works, he dubs pornos and stuff. He it's funny how they met too,
Looking for
but
his chips.
Yeah, he was looking for his chips at Barnes and Noble or wherever it is. But
Jason, we love you.
yeah, Jason, we miss you. Come back on. We need your input, Stephanie. But yeah, so this film here, he meets the main protagonist, antagonist, whatever you want to call her. I think she's a pretty cool chick. I feel like I've seen a lot of her at record stores and stuff, you know. So yeah, I've seen chicks like her around. But yeah, so he meets this girl because he goes to a movie theater and he tells the girl that he's doing like this porno dubbing thing. Oh, I want to go on a date with you, but don't be late. I hate people who are late. And next thing you know, this girl at the porno theater, she's fucking late. So he goes to the movie by himself, which is honestly one of the most boring fucking movies I've ever seen. I wouldn't pay. I was like, I want my money back. What is this? A nut fanning movie.
Oh, well, so the movie that they go to see at the movie theater, she does show up at some point. But that
Yeah, 40
movie,
minutes into it.
yeah, and they're
Yeah.
naked and they're eating the eggs.
Yeah. And the thing is, I guess it comes back later, but it's these two characters that are naked. The one girl looks like the Lisa Gay from Class of Nuke 'Em High 2 with the big kind of
Oh,
Marge
wow.
Simpson
Oh
hat.
my
Yeah,
gosh,
she
she
has
does.
like the
Nice, Doug.
donut
That's a good call
stacker.
out. I love that.
Yeah, obscure one for you, those of you that know. But yeah, so they're talking about eggs and they're eating eggs and they're talking about just I don't like it was just, like it's like a 10-minute conversation of them talking about nothing. So it's like Seinfeld in black and white. And
But he does going on and on. I think there's something to be said there because not only are they talking about birds and eating eggs, but he's the only one speaking.
Yeah, the girl doesn't say anything. If I was that girl, I'm like, shut up. That's what I would have said.
She just keeps nodding like when she's
Yeah, but
eating. I'm like, what the fuck is this motherfucker talking about?
yeah, it's almost like those A24 artsy fartsy movies that they're going to see. And then he meets Monica M at the movie theater and they kind of like lock eyes and like, oh hey, this chick enjoys the same boring ass movie like I do. And later on in the film they realize
And
like
drinks coffee there while she's there. That's my
yeah, they
favorite.
drink coffee and they're you know what I mean? So they're like record store Gen
Yeah.
Z punks, which is cool. But yeah, so they end up going out on a date and they end up making out and stuff. But the whole thing, what kind of circles back to it is like, she's like, oh, you enjoyed that movie too? And he's like, yeah, I dub porno films for a living. And it's just so nice to see a movie where people talk as opposed to fucking. So I don't know. I thought that had something to say because I'm like, yeah, I guess I do kind of see the appeal to a talking movie versus just fucking. I don't know. That's a weird thing. But yeah, so it's a weird thing because the guy in this movie, I don't remember his name. I just call him Jason. But yeah, he keeps going on these dates with her, and that's when they finally like fuck, and he's wearing like I don't know if German guys wear this all the time, but they wear like,
I think his name is like Matthew, isn't it? Like Matthew? Is it Matthew? Oh no, it's Mark. It's Mark.
Mark? Yeah, Jason's Mark. So
his name is Mark in the movie. I remember because like because when he comes into the room where the girls are there, or when they're watching the movie, she goes, "Oh, this is Mark." And all I can think of is the room.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Oh, hey, Mark.
And he eats chocolates too. He likes chocolates.
Yeah. So I wonder if he knew about this movie and he watched it and named the character after this character.
Maybe he did. I mean, honestly, like it wouldn't surprise me. Yeah. But this guy, he loves to over-exaggerate his orgasms and he loves to eat chocolate. So that's one thing I picked up on him.
I mean, technically that's why he does overdubs for porn.
So yeah, I would like to think that Jason is not as dorky as this person. Okay, I think Jason has a little more game than this because this guy.
Well, I want to see what Jason wears as socks. Does he wear those? What are those things called when you wear those?
They hold the socks up, and that's a very old. That is a very men stopped doing that. I think in the 80s.
Well, they didn't have elastic. That's why they had to do that.
They would hold their socks up.
Yes.
But it looks like Forrest Gump had the, remember when Forrest Gump had those leg braces? Like that's what that looks like.
Well, and you know that's why they did that.
When girls do stockings because pocket, but that's sexy in a woman.
Well, that's what made it more of a woman thing, because when he was pulling down her stockings, they're like, oh, he's being in charge. And then they switched it to where she was being in charge by taking his pant leg.
I mean, that was very intentional. I could tell, because they showed hers and then they showed his. Mm. My issue is his are not sexy. Like any man having to hold his socks up.
Well, not only that, but like I said, I was in a different state of mind when I was watching this film.
Oh, and with his striped dumpy drawers that he was wearing. Oh, bless his heart.
Even that. I was actually kind of more disturbed by before the whole corpse fucking. I was more disturbed by he tucked his under his wife beater shirt into his underwear.
That's weird.
Oh my god. You know, no wonder he hasn't been laid. No wonder girls are late meeting him. He's so he gets so fucking mad, has so much to say about people being late. And I'm like, look at you.
Like, yeah, he was like SpongeBob. That's what he reminded me.
Yeah. SpongeBob has more game than he does. So I just don't even understand that. And that's my thing. It's like guys like that think that, oh, well, I'm a nice guy that we need to be serving. Like, not a lot of people are attracted to, and that's why I didn't feel sorry for him. Shut up. That's why I don't feel sorry for him, because he feels entitled and he's expectant of what he wants a woman to give him. Which is why he meets with his girlfriend later at the coffee shop, right? Because he's got to tell her, like, well, she's perverse. She's this. Like, oh. Like, who the fuck do you think you are? First of all, you've done nothing to make yourself better or more appealing to anybody else. And you just think, you assume that you are the perfect man and that every woman should just fall down at your feet.
Well, she calls him out, doesn't she? Like, in that conversation, she's like, I mean, you do porn. And he's like, oh, it's not the same. Like, he was trying to make it seem like it was different. Like, somehow, like, oh, my perverse is way better than her perverse.
But, yeah, but it's the same. Like, you're in the same industry. And the thing is that, honestly, and the real world, these two people might be able to make it, right? Because is this a thing? Is necrophilia a thing? I don't even want to Google it on my computer.
It's not a thing, but you want to know some fun facts about this. There's a picture that's pretty prominent. It shows up in the background a lot during the sex scenes and stuff.
Oh, like the one?
Yeah, here it is. During a sex scene, there's a drawing by Karen Greenlee, an actual necrophile. She worked as an apprentice embalmer and was arrested for stealing a hearse and interfering with a funeral. She also confessed to having sex with 20 to 40 corpses. She describes herself as a morgret and considered necrophilia an addiction. So I guess it is an addiction out there for some people.
I mean, if you're into it, you're into it. I mean, whatever. I mean, like who am I to tell you your shit's weird or not weird?
I'm not sex shaming anybody here today.
Well, no, because I mean, like legitimately, like they're fucking dead. They don't give a shit. It's not like you raped them. It's not like, you know, you took advantage of them.
It's a violation. It's a violation.
How is it a violation?
Well, the corpse can't say anything.
Because the corpse can't A corpse can't give you consent.
Give you consent? Is that what it is? It's like you
and
can fuck an inanimate object and it doesn't
but
give you consent.
Think of the okay, so this is my perfect example, and I've talked about this before. When you watch Contracted, I love because I'm not I you know, I'm so sick of zombies, but I love Contracted because it's such a great way of like introducing of how a zombie apocalypse can happen because people are fucking perverts. And they're fucking dead bodies and contracting whatever disease and then just building along to whatever will fuck them later. Like my thing is that there are germs afoot. This is not clean.
Oh yeah,
For a
we're not
woman, it
talking
would
about
be
that though.
harder to fuck a body, in my opinion,
Well,
because
back, I mean, here's the thing. You may say it's not clean, but I knew a bunch of guys back in the army that would fuck anything that moves. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just STD written. Oh, it's okay. I go, well, hey, chlamydia is chlamydia. It goes away after a little bit. I met some.
she did put the pipe on the body in the first one, so technically she didn't fuck the dead body, she just fucked the pipe.
Yeah, without consent. So the pipe must have been really upset.
Oh, fuck you.
Yeah, Roto-Rooter has a big legal agreement.
That's another point. I don't want my dead body being like maimed by some poker in the making.
Oh, you wouldn't know. You're just a. I even asked you how
Yeah,
you're.
like you're God. Like, why do you care?
I will never be gone. I promise you, I will haunt every single one of you motherfuckers. I will never be gone. I will be in
Well.
your thoughts and your minds and your prayers every day.
There you go, folks. If you decide to take violation to Aid's dead body, she will haunt
Could
you.
you imagine hearing my voice in your head in the middle of the night? Wouldn't it be so
Oh, bless
mad?
his heart. But no, it's funny. You know how like women always say, "Would you love me if I was a worm?" I asked you higher when we were watching this. We were in bed last night, and I'm just like, "Hey, B. Would you still fuck me if I was a dead corpse?" And she's like, "No." And I was actually really offended.
Oh, why
So,
would she? How would you get it up?
she's like,
That's
"Your
the
soul is
problem.
gone. Your soul is gone." I'm like, "Well, that's okay. You still eat husks of
You're
corpse."
like,
That's
you don't just love my
the
body.
point. If you're The whole point is like, and this is what the issue was, and she couldn't get his dick up. So remember at the end when she was able to, she put the little thing around his dick
Yeah, I
in
felt
this
that.
scene right here because his dick was so hard. So now she can use him. She couldn't use the body before because the body didn't have a hard dick.
I mean, it looked like, I don't know about you guys, but there's a restaurant called BJ's out here and they serve a thing called Pazookies. So for your birthday, you ask for a Pazookie and it's like a cookie, like kind of like a chocolate mountain when they put a candle in there. This looked like a ch fucking chocolate mountain cake, the dick that she cut off and put in the fridge. So he's like, oh, she wants to had her birthday recently. It was a
Well,
piece of cake.
according to age, she would have never gone down on this guy anyways, because like he has all that fuzz down there.
Well,
No,
she puked. She had a good
she
puking
did
session,
puke.
and
See, I would puke too.
not in the second guy.
Well,
Well,
see,
then.
okay, here's my thing here. So when she later on when she gets the boyfriend Jason, I'll just say for that, for example, and she like when she chops up the old corpse in the bathtub and stuff, she keeps the head. And later on she's like, ah, oh, this new boyfriend, I don't know if he does it for me or whatnot, but she gets a zip tie. And once his dick is hard, like she starts slicing
Yeah,
into his neck.
she gets his dick hard.
She zip ties
Well, she cuts his throat before she zip ties.
she cuts his throat. Yeah, I guess that gets you hard too. I don't know, because all your blood's rushing down there. But wouldn't you want to zip it from under the balls and up to the dick? Like, wouldn't that be the main thing or
I was
no?
thinking the same thing because I'm like, if you want to keep it hard, like you gotta figure it out.
That's what a cock ring does. You stick that down
You
there.
both are then no, it's definitely a cock ring, but like it was kind of hilarious that both of you literally went I mean, if you're gonna be doing this, at least
Yeah,
do
no, that's what I was. I'm like, why would she put it there? It's gonna deflate. It's gonna look like a
it
twisty balloon animal.
Just so all you folks out there realize, Doug and Aid are legitimately gonna like, no, we got this correct.
know
Under
something
the
about
balls
something.
and the dick, folks. Under the
No, I
balls.
definitely agree with you. Like, if that's the way you're gonna go, that's what you should do.
And then, plus, if it's going deep inside you, you're getting that cut zip tie. That's going to cut your vagina, isn't
Yeah, because you could only get it down so far. Like, she was faking. She was faking.
it? She was faking anyways, because obviously she kept thinking about the fucking dead corpse guy who has like rigor mortis already involved in his wood. So, like, I mean, legitimately, this guy could never fucking satisfy her. And he obviously could feel it. She was, like, mixed between the both of them because of who she was. And then to, spoiler at the end here, she cuts one head off just so she can put the other head on so she can have...
Yeah, she didn't like him. I get
her corpse, it. Her corpse husband with her live, fresh body version. Because yeah. She threw away the body because she thought she was into this new guy.
Yeah, and she's like, I want the old head. Jason's head's not working for me.
Because but, he didn't have a dick that she needed.
But she kept the dick.
She had one. No, he.
She didn't change the dick?
She did change. She kept Jason's dick. What are you talking about?
Wow.
Yeah, she kept his
dick. By the way, folks, this guy's name's Mark.
She put the dick guy on it so that she could keep it hard. That was the whole point of putting the little thing on it.
Yeah, I get that. I get that.
So she kept that. The only thing she wanted was Robert's head. She put Robert's head.
But here's the thing is, body. Robert's dick was basically the same size as fucking the fresh guy's dick.
It was it was hard.
It was much more robust. I mean, it's not like you're fucking a Pazuki chocolate cake. You know what I mean? That's...
Oh, look at Jason, like.
Jason, like, oh, I'm never coming back.
Lance to over here.
I'm trying to like defend Mark judging. Instead of saying Jason. And you two just.
Well, for you Jason. Listeners out there.
No, I'm going to say Jason. I have to.
He's around still. But,
he's still with us. He's going to be very mad at
us. He's like, Jason, you know you're Jason. In the Necromantic 2 episode? I was.
No, I told him he needs to send us a thing because, like, we're talking about the Bobby Hill shirt. I was like, you better show me because he was sending me a thing and he's like, that's my corpse. I don't know you. And I was like, you better fucking send that so we can put it at the end of the episode. So you better fucking send it. Anyway.
What did you guys feel about the fact that the end of the movie legitimately, I mean, I wasn't shocked and I was actually assuming it was going to happen, but that she was pregnant with... Mark/Jason's.
Well, if they made kid. Necromantic 3, what and if she's stillborn, she's like, oh, I mean, it could go in really fucked up places if they didn't.
Ooh, see that? That would be an interesting way where it wasn't sexual. That would be you're almost going in a psycho movie style wise, but yeah. With like a child version of it or the mother version child.
Well, Doug, you mentioned before though that this movie was for the for your good grit. To like mm-hmm. make a statement and piss people off. Like, I don't think doing that would be in his field of what he wants to do to like
shock and offend people. Yeah, that's really what he was trying to do. Because he made other films after this, like Schramm, which I really like Schramm. That's like an hour and 10 minutes. It's a serial killer movie. And the actor actually puts a nail through his dick for that movie, so there you go.
Damn.
Yeah, and he and then he did another one called Der Todesking, which is the Death King. So that one movie's about like a bunch of people that enjoy suicide and they're like, oh yes, oh you're gonna kill yourself this way. Once you shoot yourself with a shotgun, I'll go ahead and slit my wrists and throat and we'll film it together. And it's a lovely thing. So you know it's he makes movies like that, and like I said, like all of his films.
So it's Romeo and Juliet, basically.
Kind of like that, yeah, a little bit like that. But all his films were always on like the what was it, the lists of people trying to find like obscure DVDs and stuff like that.
So Doug, would you say like this guy's I guess career / film work is more like collectible on what kind of level? Like, I mean, is he like so like sought after only because it's such
I don't know the right word for it.
It's so niche. Yeah,
it's very niche. Like he's like, this movie is because in the Blu-ray he like does the introduction. Like, this movie, if you were to cut out the gore scenes, this is a true romantic love story.
Honestly, on the basis of it, I mean, if you think about it, it's a girl who finds somebody, she's into them, but obviously there's reasons why she shouldn't be with him, and then she meets some other person who meets all these other quote-unquote normal criterias that most people would accept, obviously being alive mm-hmm. and so forth, but then she starts thinking to yourself, why do I have to like deal with those kind of consequences? Why do I have to be with somebody that I don't want to be with because he doesn't turn me on? He doesn't make me feel the way I want to feel. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, like in general, like, I mean, he's not wrong. If you take outside of the fact that it's a dead person and a live person, you know what I mean? It has a lot of continuity to what most people go through. Like, you know, it's mm-hmm. like why am I with this person? Who am I with? What am I allowing myself to be okay with and not be okay with? And she does have the controlling power of it, which it makes it part of this month, you know, in that sense where she controls her outcome. Not everybody can mix and match like she's doing in the end run. You know what I mean? Like that's not, unfortunately, a feasible thing where you can't just go,
oh, you know, too bad.
I'll take a little piece of this person, a little piece of that person, you know, but like,
yeah, it's kind of like Frankenhooker in a way. And, but the thing is, like, I think this love is it. Like a very strong movie for Women's Month, because the main Monica M, she's a woman. She knows what she wants. And if she doesn't like it, she'll find a way to make it her own. You know what I mean? So, And I think there's even a thing where they're like, oh, you know, pornography with, they're talking when they're watching the seal video. So this kind of has a scene similar to the first one where you get that skinned rabbit, but this one, it's a seal. And the thing is they didn't kill this seal. So you don't see them killing the seal. It was probably dead, but they go ahead and chop it up and you see them like pulling the skull out and stuff. And they're watching on this videotape, and all these girls are having like the woman's night watching, you know, the seal get skinned alive. And
how I imagine every woman's night goes.
Yeah. And they're like eating charcuterie with a giant tomato on bread. I don't know. I was more disgusted by that giant bread than the seal. All right. Yeah. So that was Necromantic 2. I definitely say check it out. It's not streaming anywhere except Shudder. And it is uncut on Shudder because it's the same runtime. So do yourself a favor, watch them with family members over, preferably have dinner and watch them and say, this is one of my favorite movies of all time.
Make sure the kids are up in center, up in the TV.
maybe watch them not consecutively if you're not ready for that.
Yeah, and like I said, to just prepare yourself, because the first one's shorter, but I feel like the second one is just nastier, because this, I know it's like liquid latex and stuff as a corpse, but man, when she's chopping up that body in the bathtub, it still made me nauseous. We've got a few good things here on Redbubble. We got a new design shirt that a friend of Mikey designed. So you can find that on slasherspod.redbubble.com. So go ahead and go there. Just type in slasherspod Redbubble on Google and it'll pop up on there. Check us out on B-Movie TV. So I know this episode will come out Monday. There's a new episode of Friday Night Action on B-Movie TV. And I'm going to have some stuff from Lance's band. So you're going to get, I'm going to be wearing my Rushmore FL shirt on nice. The episode, and yeah, you get a cool music video featuring a non-necromantic version of a hamster in a cage.
Could also be penetrating you though, still technically.
Oh yeah, your ears preferably. My ears were coming during it. So yeah, aww. So if you have a Roku, B-Movie TV, check us out. I'll be showing the show at 8 p.m. And then we also got, you know, a bunch of goodies, dental dams to coffee cans.
Just get us on patreon.com/justpod, and all the goons are coming to Orlando for Spooky Empire coming up. So if you guys are in the area and you would like to join Spooky Empire and you come out and see us, we may have a sticker or button to give to you. So please come out to Spooky Empire Orlando and enjoy yourselves, and maybe you'll see your favorite, you know, justpod hosts.
Yeah, don't be shy. Trust me, we got stickers and stuff, and a lot of us, we can talk. I know Lance, like, you meet him, it's like, oh, you're Lance from the podcast. Yeah. And Lance will be talking to you for 20 minutes.
You'll be there all day, so just have a good time with that.
Also, please subscribe to our YouTube, our Instagrams, TikTok. Facebook, TikTok.
Before it gets banned.
Yeah, very true. But, like, hit us up on all those things. We try to make sure we're doing all the things. Our Patreon, which we... also, I mean, what is it, as low as $1 to join?
Yeah,
to get all the extra information from us. So help us do that so we can help you do more stuff and keep us doing it. We all have real jobs and all that other stuff, but we love doing this as our enjoyment, and to help us do more stuff like cons and all the stuff, because that's going to help us out with a lot of stuff that we're doing and talking to other people. And let us know how you feel about this show, all the shows, and you know, love on us.
We need it. Yeah. Definitely. Really? And we love you guys. Thank you so much for all these years of listening. Maybe it's just the Pisco hitting, but thank you guys all for, you know, hearing us blab and barter on these movies. So I hope you come out listening and, you know, find out something new. It's like, oh, now I want to see Necromantic too. You know what I mean? Just like some of those obscure stuff or movies in general, because I think that's a really fun pastime. So stop being so cruddy. Like, I feel like a lot of people can identify with Monica M in this movie, where it's like, not, you're not having sex with corpses, but you're living a life of like artistry.
Or you are.
Yeah, or maybe you do. I don't kink shame. But yeah, you know, don't be afraid to live your life like how you want to, and how, if you have true artistic merits and stuff, live it that way, because life is short. Next thing you know, you're gonna have gray hair, you're gonna be an old hag, and you'll be looking at the mirror and like, man, where did my life go? Why didn't I do what I wanted to do? Why didn't I,
Wait for the age joke somewhere. Age joke.
No, I'm looking at myself because I had gray hair this
not
morning.
you, not you, Doug. I was waiting for aid. Usually this is where
It's
she
not even
chimes
that.
in.
No, this is like we do this for everybody and we have a great time doing it. This is art. And as much as people want to say shit about extreme films, which are very difficult to get through, they're not easy. And they're not everybody's cup of tea, especially not mine. But I watch them for the show and I love my co-hosts and I know that there's something to be had of this. And honestly, I would say the Necromantic 2 probably has more commentary on it than the new Crow remake, but that's just my two cents. So having said that, Doug.
Oh man, well I love being on this episode back again with you guys. You got new fresh air. But without that being said, you got Lance, we got Aid, we're signing you off. So goodbye and good die.
Bye.
And have sex.
Oh, that too.